Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Shastrakrita Prabhu to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, for enlightening us. Thank you so much for giving your valuable association and time. So now I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, Text 49 and 50. Chapter entitled Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead. And this is the Sanskrit verses. Paurnamasyam sinivalyam dvadasyam travane tava dinashaye vyatipate sankrame arkadine piva sravayech shraddhananam thitapada padasraya Nicham statratmanatmanam santushta iti siddhyate. Translation. Persons who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord should recite this narration of Dhruva Maharaj without taking remuneration. Specifically, recitation is recommended on the full moon or dark moon day, on the day after Ekadashi, on the appearance of Shravana star at the end of a particular tithi, or the occasion of Vyatipata at the end of the month, or on a Sunday. Such recitation should of course be performed before a favorable audience when recitation is performed this way without professional motive. The reciter and audience become perfect. Performed by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Professional reciters may ask money to extinguish the blazing fire within their bellies, but they cannot make any spiritual improvement or become perfect. It is therefore strictly forbidden to recite Srimad Bhagavatam as a profession to earn a livelihood. Only one who is completely surrendered at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, depending fully on Him for personal maintenance, or even for maintenance of his family, can attain perfection by recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is full of narrations of the pastimes of the Lord and His devotees. The process can be summarized as follows. The audience must be faithfully receptive to the Bhagavata message, and the reciter should completely depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavata recitation must not be a business. If done in right way, not only does the reciter achieve perfect satisfaction, but the Lord also is very satisfied with the reciter and the audience. Thus both are liberated from material bondage simply by the process of hearing. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Budle Srimate Deva Mita Swaminiti Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Budle Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namaha Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Pashyatya Destarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gauru Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare So here, Prabhupada and Bhagavatam is saying how the Bhagavatam should be discussed before a favorable audience. So I'm honored, even though I'm not qualified to speak, but at least the audience, all of you, feel like it's a Kumbh Mela, like so many Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis from so many states tuning in, taking your valuable time. It's really inspiring. So here, Prabhupada makes many points, and one of the points mentioned here is that the charity, when people speak Bhagavatam, Prabhupada jokingly said many times that, you know, the person who's speaking, he has no idea of the Bhagavatam, and the person who's listening also doesn't have a clue. And then in the end of the Bhagavatam, the person, the speaker, gets like shoes and umbrella and some cash and like this. And Prabhupada jokingly mentions here that the professional reciters may ask money to extinguish the blazing fire within their bellies, but they cannot make any spiritual improvement or become perfect. So that's why anyone who's read the Gita, they know who to hear from and who to give charity. Like, for example, I was just remembering in the 17th chapter, Krishna talks about divisions of faith, and he mentions how even in charity, there are like three kinds of charity. Krishna says that mode of ignorance means charity performed at an impure place and time, and charity given to like unworthy persons without proper attention and respect. That's like mode of ignorance. And passion, mode of passion, means we give charity, but we want something in return, or a desire for fruitive results, or in an angry mood, like that. That's mode of passion. And mode of goodness means we give it out of duty without expectation of return in a proper time, proper place, and to a worthy person. This is charity in the mode of goodness. So all these things people don't know. People, because in other words, even to go distance, we have to be like serious in spiritual life. Many times we meet people, they're, you know, they consider themselves Hindu, or you know, they want to give charity or something like that, but they're not very serious about spiritual life. So they just want to do it out of fear, or just to, you know, get it done. They'll just do some ritual and they pay somebody that's not qualified. But this is a complete science. Anybody who reads Srila Prabhupada's books, they can understand all these things. How everything is so scientific, everything is so clear. I was just refreshing my memory about this chapter, because pretty much last month, we've been absorbed in Gaura Leela. We had Nityananda Trayodasi, we had Advaita Acharya appearance, we had Gaura Purnima. Yesterday we celebrated Srivas Thakur's appearance. Like this, you know, we were celebrating the Panchatattva, different festivals. And Only by the mercy of Panchatattva we can understand Bhagavata. Otherwise we cannot understand Bhagavatam so easily, like we are, you know, at least I consider myself, you know, not qualified. But we are able to understand Bhagavatam because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Guru Parampara, our spiritual master, and Panchatattva. Therefore, we are able to discuss topics like Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead. It's like so, you know, just the title alone is so amazing, actually. Who talks about these things goes back to Godhead? And all the things we read about the, you know, Dhruva Charitra, beginning from Dhruva Maharaj being upset and him chanting mantra. At the end, it mentions how Dhruva is so humble, even though he is going back to Godhead and he is worshipping all the saints and sages, and he's worried about his mother, and she also follows him, and the description of Vaikuntha planet, all these things are given. And like my guru, Guru Maharaj often points out, all these things can seem very exotic. Spiritual world and Vaikuntha airplane and Vishnu Dutas and like this. But if we don't give credit, and if we don't, if we think this is too exotic, then what we are basically saying is we are empowering matter. We give all credit to matter. We think that, oh, matter is unlimited. Matter has unlimited possibilities. Just from, you know, a big bang, so many things have come into creation. And everything is maintained and everything will be destroyed. And, you know, like this, we empower matter with unlimited possibilities. But that's also just a theory. That's also somebody's belief. That's somebody's religious belief. But what makes more sense is that there is a source of everything, and there is an intelligence behind creation, and there is a system. There is a system in order. And we can see how the devotees, how they attain perfection. Puta madbahum agata. Krishna explains that. Bahavo jnana tapasa puta madbahum agata. Krishna says, many, many personalities in the past have followed this process and they have attained my shelter, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. So there is a system, there's a process, and also my Guru Maharaj points out all the time how nowhere in our books it mentions that, you know, just believe in Krishna, and then, you know, like that, whether you understand him or not, whether you, you know, that's like blind faith. But nowhere does it Krishna ask like that, but rather there is a process given. The process is that we perform bhakti yoga, and then we feel the results. We feel the results of performing bhakti. Vasudeva Bhagavati, bhakti yoga prayojita, janayati asu vairagam jnanam chaya dahaitukam. It's also mentioned in another sloka, vairagya vidya, nija bhakti yoga. When we perform bhakti, then what happens is we get jnana and vairagya. We get detachment from unfavorable things, and we get knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then we become attached to devotional service. So this is actually a very scientific process. And it's mentioned, if it's not working, if somebody may say like, oh, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, or, you know, I'm not feeling anything. We just have to increase the dose. Yes. We just have to be more serious. We have to perform bhakti yoga with intensity. Then we will see the results. It's not some religious belief. It definitely works. Like Prabhupada would often say, repeatedly say, how, you know, when Prabhupada first came, his audience was just, they didn't know anything about anything. And Prabhupada got them to chant Hare Krishna, got the, you know, American boys and girls to chant Hare Krishna. And even the local American priests, they would say to Prabhupada, these are all our, you know, same boys and girls, but they would never come to church. And they were all so confused and they were like morose. But now they're looking so bright-faced. And Prabhupada would say, they look, my disciples in, you know, devotional clothes, they look like they come from Vaikuntha himself. And the priests would say to Prabhupada that, you know, they're mad after God now. Before, they would not come to church, but now they're like so ecstatic with love of God. So they would ask Prabhupada, like, what have you done? What is the secret? And Prabhupada would say, like, oh, you know, I'm a poor old man. I don't even, you know, have enough money to maintain myself. There's no question of bribing them. But I just taught them. I just asked them to chant Hare Krishna. And just by chanting Hare Krishna, all these boys and girls, they're developing ecstatic love for God. Because it's not an artificial imposition, Prabhupada would say, this process. Vasudeva, I mean, Nitya, Siddha, Krishna, Bhakti, Sadhya Kabunoi, Sravanadi, Suddha Chitte, Karyavudoi. It's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how this Krishna Bhakti is there within everyone's heart. But at the moment, we have forgotten. Forgetting Krishna consciousness, everyone have all kinds of misconceptions. Like we can see for ourselves, we look back, exactly we didn't understand the right Siddhanta. We had all kinds of ideas and plans, what we want to do in life and what is spiritual and, you know, like this, how to enjoy, what is this world meant for my enjoyment. Like this, it's Krishnadas Kaviraj compares a materialistic person to be like in a ghostly haunted situation. Pisachi paile jana matti chana hoy. Mayara grasta jivara se seba budoy. And Krishnadas Kaviraj says how, you know, this condition of the living entity in this under the material energy is like a, you know, condition of a person who's ghostly haunted. But when we chant Hare Krishna and when we do devotional service, then everything becomes clear. Otherwise, Even if we are reading Bhagavatam without proper mood, proper understanding, then it does not produce any results. Like in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the story of Devananda Pandit is mentioned. Devananda Pandit, he was such a scholar of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He knew the Bhagavatam verses by heart. And he had many disciples, many followers. He was very charismatic. So Srivas Thakur, he is very innocent, very, you know, attracted. Wherever there is Bhagavatam recitation, he would be attracted. So Srivas Thakur went to the Bhagavatam class of Devananda Pandit. And as soon as he heard the Bhagavatam verses, Srivas Thakur just fainted in ecstasy. But because these devotees, the disciples of Devananda Pandit, they're not trained properly. They thought, oh, this man is simply a nuisance. So they picked him up from the class, and then they just took him outside and left him on the sidewalk. And Srivas Thakur, when he woke up, you know, him being humble devotee, he didn't think much of it. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was offended. He was really offended. He walked by one day, walked past Devananda Pandit's ashram, and he started screaming, "Devananda Pandit, what's the use of your useless parrot-like Bhagavatam chanting? I'll shred your Bhagavatam to pieces." And Mahaprabhu was like visibly disturbed, and the disciples had to like hold him back. He was so upset at Devananda Pandit. And nobody can understand. And, you know, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually said every syllable of Bhagavatam is nothing but, you know, talks about love of Krishna. And every syllable is worshipable in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And all of a sudden he's saying, I'm going to shred your Bhagavatam to pieces. So devotees couldn't understand. But Mahaprabhu was so upset. What is the use of your reading Bhagavatam? You don't understand the essence of the Bhagavatam is to worship the devotee. Rather, in the Bhagavatam discussion, you're offending a devotee. So Mahaprabhu was very upset. And then later on, there was a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vakreshwara Pandit. He could chant, he could dance in kirtan for like 3-4 days without stopping. And his dance was so ecstatic. And Devananda Pandit did some service to Vakreshwara Pandit. During his dance, he was exhausted. He took care of him, gave him water, and he took care of Vakreshwara Pandit nicely. So this way, Mahaprabhu was pacified. So by reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, we understand Srimad Bhagavatam even deeper. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself coming in the role of a devotee, Bhaktavataram, and he is living Bhagavatam. Basically, he is bringing Bhagavatam to life. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing by his example, by his ecstatic kirtans and prasadam. How much, like one time somebody asked Shivaram Maharaj, what is your realization by reading Chaitanya Charitamrita? He said, I'm so amazed how many varieties of prasadam is mentioned in there, and how much prasadam the devotees honored, and, you know, how much time they took to clean and feed each other. And it's so amazing. It's so jolly. It's not like, you know, when a new person comes to spiritual life, immediately they think like, oh, spiritual life. I'm, very serious. I can't smile. I can't be nice to anyone. I'm just like dry. They become confused because they keep hearing like Mayavadi form of renunciation, and they immediately think like. Even one guy asked me one time in book distribution. Oh. I thought you guys were supposed to be renounced, but I saw you like coming in a car. I said, when did we ever tell you that in our path we cannot drive a car? That's what he heard somewhere about Buddhism or some, Mayavad philosophy. They immediately equate that to us. Oh, all spiritualist means nobody can do anything, like this. No. That's a misunderstanding. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process is joyful. It's Kevala Ananda Kanda. It's full of joy. How Mahaprabhu and his disciples, they bathed in the ocean, and they would have like water sports among Vaishnavas. They took plenty of prasadam, and they took, They would take care of other devotees. They would take care of other devotees' bodily needs and bodily demand. Like Prabhupada mentioned in one lecture, if your god brother or god sister falls sick, you have to take care of them. It's not like, oh, you're not the body, so suffer, It's not really suffering, so just tolerate it like that. No, Prabhupada said, if somebody falls sick, in the material world you have a material body, you have to take care. And the Vaishnava etiquette in the Gaura Leela, so much Vaishnava etiquette is shown. Like when Sanatana Goswami came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu running through all the forests and drinking contaminated water, he developed some form of skin disease. And he was oozing with blood and pus and water. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would embrace him and tell him, oh, this feels like chatusmada. Chatusmada is a paste they make for deities with camphor, sandalwood and musk. So Mahaprabhu felt like that. But then Sanatana Goswami, out of his humility, he felt very sorry, very sad that, Mahaprabhu is embracing him and his contaminated body is touching Mahaprabhu's beautiful form. So he asked Jagadananda Pandit, this intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked him, like, what am I supposed to do? Mahaprabhu, every time he sees me, embraces me, but I feel like I want to serve the Lord, but I'm offending him more and more. So Jagadananda Pandit said, oh, he already told you to go to Vrindavan and write books, so why are you still here? Just leave. So Sanatana Goswami was excusing himself, saying to Mahaprabhu, I'm going to Vrindavan. And so why are you leaving me? And he said, oh, Jagadananda Pandit advised me, I should go and do my service. And Mahaprabhu got so upset with Jagadananda Pandit. Oh, this impudent Jaga, who does he think he is? How dare he advise you to do something? I consider you on the level of my spiritual master, and even I never give you any instructions like that, but who does he think he is that he can advise you? Like this, every step of the way, how to chant, how to read, how to take naps, how to bathe, how to see the Lord, how to see the devotees, how to cook, how to honor prasadam, how to clean, what to wear, what not to wear. My Sanatana Goswami gave up everything. He was a minister in the Nawab Hussein Shah. He gave up his minister position. And he was wearing one fancy blanket. That's all he had in his possession that his brother-in-law gifted him. And Mahaprabhu kept looking at that. What are you wearing? Like, this doesn't look nice. You're supposed to be in the renounced order of life and you're wearing this fancy blanket. So immediately Sanatana Goswami realized, just by the looks of Mahaprabhu, my God, it's not pleasing to Mahaprabhu. And Keshava Bharati, he was wearing a deer skin, and Mahaprabhu pretended like he didn't even see him. And the devotees are like, oh, here is Keshava Bharati. And then Mahaprabhu is like, oh, I don't see any Keshava Bharati. And he's standing right before you. Mahaprabhu said, no, Keshava Bharati does not wear deer skin. So like this, he was constantly pointing out etiquette. What a Vaishnava is supposed to look like, how to be renounced. And with Chota Haridas, he was showing the etiquette, how to behave in the renounced order of life. And with Gopal Chapla offended Srivas Thakur. And then, you know, Mahaprabhu was very strict with him, like thunderbolt. And he told Gopal Chapla, because Gopal Chapla developed advanced level of leprosy because he offended Srivas Thakur by putting all kinds of paraphernalia for worshipping Kali outside Srivas Thakur's door to minimize his position. So Gopal Chapla developed leprosy and he was ostracized, and he was living near the bank of Ganga because he was not allowed inside the society. And he was in so much pain, and he was running in the heat to fall at Mahaprabhu's feet to beg forgiveness. And Mahaprabhu said, you think you're suffering now, you will have to suffer worse for another 10 million births for offending my devotee. Unless you go to my devotee and you beg forgiveness, you know, you will just suffer more and more. So Mahaprabhu is showing the over and over the offenses to the Vaishnavas, Hati Mata. And Mahaprabhu taught how to fast on Ekadashi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the only thing he requested his mother in his whole life was to follow Ekadashi Vrata. And when Mahaprabhu went to Sri Rangam, he taught the worshippers of Vishnu, Venkata Bhat and Prabodhananda Saraswati and like this, devotees of Ranganath, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachid Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. That even the source of Mahavishnu is the Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna. There are so many Ishwaras, but there's only one Parama Ishvara, Ishvara Parama, and that is Krishna. And one of the Swamis in the Sri Sampradaya, he told our devotees, oh, I totally believe that, because even our Ranganath deity in Srirangam has only two arms. He doesn't have four arms, he has two arms, so he's Krishna. So like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling and intensively spreading Krishna consciousness and teaching us how to share Krishna consciousness, how to, when he met with Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya saw this boy is like, you know, hardly like 20-something years old, and he looks like Cupid himself. He's so beautiful. How is he going to keep sannyas? He was concerned. So he said, unless, you know, I take you under my wings, under my shelter, and teach you Vedanta, there's no possibility of you remaining a sannyasi. So he started talking Vedanta for 7 days. And Mahaprabhu did not say a word. He was so humble, so tolerant, like a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige. He was listening. And then Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, 7th day, said, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand anything? Yes or no? And Mahaprabhu said, I clearly understand Vedanta. Vedanta is like the bright sunshine, and your interpretation is like dark cloud that's covering the Vedanta. So And then Mahaprabhu started explaining the Atmarama verse in 64 different ways. And Sarvabhauma fell at his feet and said, unless you're God himself, this nobody can explain this in so many ways like this. And he saw Prakasananda Saraswati in Banaras. And 60,000 disciples he had. You cannot imagine such a powerful person. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was Brihaspati himself, the guru of the demigods. He came in the Gaura Leela. And Prakasananda Saraswati, he was such a powerful Mayavadi, he had 60,000 disciples. And Mahaprabhu went and sat down where they washed their feet. And then Prakasananda Saraswati and his disciple, they were amazed. Who is this person? Because Mahaprabhu was emanating so much tejas, effulgence, which is the goal of the Mayavadis. And they thought, they were so attracted to him. And they put him on a throne and say, you look like Sakshat Narayan himself. Why are you sitting in the place where we wash feet? Why don't you come and study the Vedas with us? And Mahaprabhu said, oh, my Guru Maharaj said, I'm not intelligent enough to study Vedanta. Guru More Murkha Deki Karila Sasan. He said, I cannot understand Vedanta. And my Guru Maharaj said, just chant Hare Krishna. Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Iva Kevalam, Kalav Nasti, Eva Nasti, Eva Nasti, Gatiranyata. So Mahaprabhu told Prakasananda Saraswati, taking the role of an ordinary conditioned soul, that we cannot understand Vedanta. And Prabhupada would say again and again, don't bring all these austere books into our assembly. Just whatever I've given you, just try to understand that and chant Hare Krishna. And Mahaprabhu was showing through this conversation with Prakasananda Saraswati that we cannot understand Vedanta. We simply have to chant Hare Krishna. And Mahaprabhu showed us, sometimes devotees ask, oh, why do I need a guru? You know, if I'm reading the books, I already understand what's going on. Why do I need a guru? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself accepted a guru and he would refer back to his guru. He would go back to his Guru Maharaj and say, Guru Maharaj, you gave me, I don't know what mantra you've given me. You asked me to chant Hare Krishna and I'm chanting Hare Krishna and I'm going mad. I'm going crazy in ecstatic bhav. I'm feeling all these symptoms. I'm shivering, I'm crying. Like Mahaprabhu, sit down to worship Shalagram, worship his Giriraj Shila, and you would cry like ocean of tears and all his cloth would get wet. And Mahaprabhu would go, bathe, put on new cloth, come back, sit down, same thing again. Again the devotees would go, again Mahaprabhu would go and bathe and come back again like this. You know, when the devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his disciples, they try to read Bhagavatam, they would cry so much tears in ecstasy that the writings will become smudged, that the page will get ruined. A page, not like the page we know of back in the day, was a different kind of page. But, you know, Mahaprabhu would go to his guru and say, I'm feeling like this, is it all right? And the spiritual master, Ishwara Puri, would embrace him and say, my dear child, this is perfection. You have attained perfection. I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy for you. So even though he's God himself, he goes to his guru and verifies with him, the way I'm feeling, is it okay? Am I doing rightly? Am I doing properly like this? And so much humility. All the time, Mahaprabhu did not like anyone that's proud. With this person, Digvijay Pandit, Keshava Kashmiri, he was known as the scholar all the way from Himalayas to Kanyakumari. He was known all the way that he's a great scholar. But he was passing through Navadvip. And Mahaprabhu was a young boy. He was playing with his boyfriend. And this Keshava Kashmiri, he passing through. And Mahaprabhu said, oh, I heard so much about you. Can you write a poem about can you write some slokas about Ganga? Immediately, like a raging wind, he composed like 108 verses in the glorification of Mother Ganga. And Mahaprabhu just heard it, and he remembered. At the end, he said, "Oh, my dear Pandit, you made a mistake in your composition." And this man couldn't believe, like, how dare, like, no one has ever told me that I'm wrong. What to speak of this little boy? How did he even remember what I said so fast? And then he's correcting him. And then he asked the Nimai Pandit, "What did you find wrong?" He said, "You said in your composition, Bhavani Bhartu. Bhavani means the wife of Lord Shiva. Bhartu means the wife. So again, there is a mistake in your composition. You're saying the husband of wife of Lord Shiva or something like that." And he was so humiliated and he wanted to commit suicide. He went away and he was all depressed. And he was so closely connected with Mother Saraswati that, he was asking Mother Saraswati. He said to Mata, "Why did you embarrass me with this little boy? What did I do wrong?" And Saraswati spoke to him and said, "This little boy is not who you think you are. He's my Lord. That's where I get my powers from. So you go and beg him forgiveness." So when this man came and begged forgiveness like that, Mahaprabhu taught him the glories of pure devotional service. And he told him we shouldn't waste our time in all this name, fame, conquering and competition and like this. And you've been blessed with such a special mercy of Mother Saraswati. You shouldn't speak anything other than the pure glories of Bhagavata. So this way he empowered him to spread Krishna consciousness. Like this we see, to understand Bhagavatam is not a cheap thing. But when we come to Krishna consciousness, when we come to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and his books, then we understand Bhagavatam very clearly, very nicely. We understand the essence of Bhagavatam and we start to live Bhagavatam. Like we often point out how even somebody doing some dishwashing in our temple, they have more knowledge than all the priests and rabbi and imam and mullah and monks because of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We understand the essence of Bhagavata. And by practicing, by reading regular Bhagavatam and also distributing this knowledge, and Prabhupada wanted every one of his followers trained in this art of distributing books. Book distribution can be done in different ways. It doesn't have to be like, you know, you have to be a salesperson, but we just have to have the mood. We just have to have the mood of compassion. And then Krishna will give us intelligence how to distribute books. We should always carry books, like it said, you know, you cannot give a book or you cannot read a book you don't have and you cannot distribute a book you don't have. So we should always carry books and we should realize these books needs to spread. Otherwise there's, you know, Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara is depending on us to distribute these books and if we don't do it, It's a, you know, great loss actually, because the way the world is going, it's really crazy actually. Everywhere we look, it's just chaos. Globally, it's just everybody's just suffering. Everybody's just hungry, and all the bogus Bhagavatam readers and Mayavadi gurus, they're taking advantage of this customers and they're minting money. So we should be distributing Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam and give people opportunity to understand Dhruva Charitra, Prahlad Charitra, all this, you know, Krishna Leela, even this painting. Somebody came to our ashram and they were looking through the art book. They were blown away, like, who drew these things? And they were so amazed that I also sat down with them and I started looking at these paintings, because usually I don't have time to look at some art book or something, but they were so blown away. Who did these paintings? And they couldn't believe that it was done by some American European disciples back in the day. They hardly heard of Krishna just a couple of years before. So like this of simultaneous transformation and distribution purpose. The more we distribute, the more we show compassion, the more we will be able to digest Bhagavatam, all this Leela we can remember, and the Leela we can have realizations about. And if we are absorbed in these Leelas, then, you know, we will not be affected. Otherwise, we turn on the television or, you know, internet, it's just depressing. Amount of animal slaughter and the nonsense the politicians speak and the crazy movie actors and musicians and Mayavadi philosophy, it's like disgusting, it just drains you. So when we take shelter of the reading of Bhagavatam and share it with others, we will be ecstatic, and whoever comes in our circle, they will also become ecstatic. It's just, as you all know, you're all exalted devotees. There is nothing greater than what we have been given. And I personally don't know how I have the fortune to come across pure bhakti, and not only that, to distribute it as well. So just feel so unqualified. And we go out every day in book distribution. And literally, like, you know, we distribute like 2-3 cases of Bhagavad Gita. I don't know where Krishna is sending from all these unlimited conditioned souls. You never run out of customers. Every time we go out, I feel like, oh my God, maybe I'm, you know, all the people already have the books. But then when you go out, you're amazed. You always find so many people that didn't know anything about anything, and they take a book and they become benefited like this. So I wanted to end with this humble request, please, along with your spiritual life, you know, try to give to Srila Prabhupada's books to others. And you, if you're not able to do that, then at least you can support the devotees that are doing that wherever you are. If you see the devotees are distributing books, please give them support, give them books, give them, you know, like this. And that way they will distribute on your behalf. Just like when you go to mandir, traditionally we don't go on the altar. So the pujari, the priest, will ask you to touch the fruits and flowers before they offer to the Lord, which means you're as good as the pujari. Similarly, if you're not able to personally distribute books for whatever reason, you can sponsor books. That way the devotees can distribute on your behalf, and it's a team effort. So this way the world will see golden age that's predicted for the next 10,000 years. Thank you, Preeti Vilasini Mataji, for this opportunity. I know I'm talking too much with exalted Vaishnavas like you. Have felt inspired to speak. So I stop here. If we have any time, anybody have any realizations, comments, corrections, please share for the next few minutes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Very, very good.
Hare Krishna
Prabhuji. Very nice points you were talking about. Tattva mantra, and you're also talking about the, you know, all other Vaishnava, like Advaita, Kalasutra, like that. You are talking about Advaita Acharya. and everything, right, about Panchatattva mantra, and you're also telling about how we have to support everybody who is, you know, if we cannot do any services or if there's somebody doing, we have to support them. It was very, very nice points, Prabhu, that you are telling, and about how important is chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That brings everything in our life, that changes our life completely. So nice for the, such a beautiful class, Prabhu. Very nice points.
Thank you, Mata. Thank you for all Prabhupada's mercy, Guru Maharaj's mercy, just repeating.
Hare Krishna Shastra. What a beautiful class. It was so nice. Actually, it was a revelation that Chaitanya Charitamrita is actually a Vaishnava etiquette book full of stories. Mm. As you were talking, you were just immersing us in all these beautiful Vaishnava relationships that Mahaprabhu used to have and all the associates of Mahaprabhu had with each other. It was so nice to hear all of that and also about the glories of book distribution. So, thank you so much, Prabhu. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. It's always full of realizations. You go out, you get the realizations, and you share it with us. So it's always a pleasure to hear from you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Very, very grateful. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mata.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Thank you very much for connected in class as usual. And especially, we have to help those who are doing book distribution. Point it to heart, Prabhuji. We will try our best to help. Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna, Jai.
And one more point you tell that every day when we are going for book distribution, we think that everybody has the book.
Mm-hmm.
How, who will take this book? But Prabhuji, that is a special mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Shri Radha Vrindavan Shari. And every day you will give a seva to two books. That is not easy for us. One or two books when we... doing Srila Prabhupada book distribution seva, then after 3-4 hours we are able to do a 2-3 Srila Prabhupada book seva, and you are doing 2 cases of Srila Prabhupada book. So that is also special mercy of our Guru Parampara, Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev. We learn so many things. You are inspiring us. Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai.
Thank you, Mata. Pray I can distribute books today nicely.
Yes, our blessing is always with you. We have seen in Atlanta, Panihati Dham, how sincerely you are doing your seva.
Thank you, Mata.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
This Mataji. Is go. Okay, go ahead, Mataji.
No, Mataji, please go ahead.
No, I was just saying hello, basically. Hare Krishna Prabhu. I just wanted to thank you for class. This is Golanki. And I wanted to say that I'm grateful to all book distributors like yourself who give those of us who aren't on the front lines to... contribute toward Lord Chaitanya's and Srila Prabhupada's mission. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mata. Thank you. Nice to hear from you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class. There were so many examples, so much to learn from your class. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Jai Mata. Thank you for tuning in.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very wonderful class. So many pastimes and that you have related, and also the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Babuji, Pranam aur Guru Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very beautiful talk, Prabhuji, and very nice presentation of Bhagavatam. So, Prabhuji, you said about the story of Digvijay Pandit. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got so angry at him and tear your Bhagavatam in pieces and like that. So can you explain a little bit more why that happened and what was wrong Digvijay Pandit did?
Oh, that was Devananda Pandit. And that's the thing. It was Devananda Pandit that Mahaprabhu was upset with. And it's very simple. If we're not trained, if we don't have the proper disciplic succession, sampradayam vihinam ye mantraste nishpalamata, if we're not trained under our guru parampara, proper bona fide guru parampara, then even if you're reading Bhagavatam or chanting Hare Krishna, we will not have the proper mood. So it's very important that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing, not just reading like a parrot, like a bookworm, but actually we have to be trained by our Guru Maharaj in the proper mood of reading Bhagavatam and chanting Hare Krishna. So that mood he didn't have because he didn't have the mercy of the Vaishnavas, and then he got it later.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. This is Gorangi again. Actually, I did have a question. I've forgotten that I did have a question. When you were saying that, Lord Chaitanya, by his example, was showing us that we should not, that we don't have the capacity to understand the shastras. So, is it the actual meaning that, because here we are all trying to understand the shastra. So isn't the real meaning of that statement that we don't have the capacity to understand it on our own? We do have to try to understand it, but under the guidance of, sadhu and shastra, not that. So the idea I'm asking is, the idea is that we don't have the independent capacity, but we do have the capacity if we are relying on the interpretations of sadhu and guru. Is that correct?
Yes, and also Mahaprabhu was pointing out, like, just like in different ages, people would try to attain perfection, like by jnana, by mental speculation. People would try to attain perfection to yoga asanas. People would try to attain perfection through like deity worship or giving in charity.
Yeah, those are all examples of trying to understand independently.
Yeah.
Right?
Independently, and also they try to attain perfection without like chanting the names of Krishna. Like, Mahaprabhu is pointing out, when you chant the names of Krishna, then everything else comes. But if you're just trying to read the Vedas or just trying to do yoga and things like that, in Kali Yuga it doesn't work. By the mercy of Guru Parampara, if we chant Hare Krishna, we might become a scholar. Like in ISKCON, we have many scholars. Or, we may get other perfection, but some people have misunderstood that, they can attain perfection just through these other processes. So Mahaprabhu is pointing that Yuga Dharma is chanting the names of Krishna, which they didn't understand before. It's like, You know, like my Guru Maharaj jokingly says, none of these things work in Kali Yuga. It's either Krishna or bust. So, in other words, we cannot attain self-realization like they did back in the day through these other processes in Kali Yuga. The Kali Yuga, the processes, we chant the holy names, and then all this becomes, all this realization, the knowledge comes. Like the, if you put a horse in front of the chariot, not chariot in front of the horse. Like that, let the holy name pull our lives, not the other processes. That's what Mahaprabhu was showing, like, okay, you guys sitting down reading some books, but that's not the process for this age. You should be chanting Hare Krishna like that. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it is true that we cannot independently understand the books. If we come to the right parampara, right conclusion, there's nothing wrong with reading the books because the books keep saying chant Hare Krishna. Did I make sense, Mother?
Yes, thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, if no one has any questions or comments for Prabhuji now. So he can end here. Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. So, Vancham Kaltaru Krishna, Kripasu
Kripasu Kripasu
Kripasu Kripasu Kripasu Kripasu Kripasu Kripasu Kripasu Kripasu Kripasu
Kripasu
Kripasu Kripasu Kripasu Kripasu Kripasu Kripasu
Thank you, Prabhu Ji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mike.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.